Words like outsiders, aliens, and undesirables have dominated political discourse in the Trump era, but these conversations don't always involve immigration at the southern border. Sometimes it's the people next door. As part of Keystone Crossroads Embedded 2020 series, reporter Max Marin takes us to the Bridesburg neighborhood of Philadelphia, where homeowners have been trying to build a wall against renters.
The first thing people in Bridesburg tell visitors is not to tell anyone else about Bridesburg. They're only half joking.
I really don't want to do this interview because Bridesburg is a truly hidden gem, and we don't want to tell many people about it. We want to keep it to ourselves.
That's Joe Slabinski III. His family funeral home has been in the neighborhood for over 100 years. His grandfather, his father, his mother, his wife, his kids, they're all funeral directors. Bridesburg is that kind of multi-generational place, the kind that takes pride in its old-school outlook.
They say you're not supposed to hug them. If they cry, you're not supposed to wipe their butts.
Jacqueline DeSanctis, who people only know as Miss Jackie, has worked in the neighborhood rec center for 60 years.
Well, we just tell them up front, if a three-year-old's crying, we're going to hug them.
Bridesburg is a sleepy pocket of row homes along the Delaware River in Philly. Only a few roads take you in and out, giving it the feel of an urban cul-de-sac. This quarter once bustled with German and Irish immigrants who could walk to jobs in nearby factories, a place where your last name got you in the club for life.
The Hewitts, they were huge. The Houcks.
The Minches.
Like,
the families that were here were so big,
kind of took up the entire neighborhood.
We're at a meeting with a group called Stars and Stripes Bars and Pipes, which does charity for veterans and first responders. Leader Yvonne Stevens says even as some things changed in the burg, much stayed the same.
I mean, I always use that phrase, and I always say it all the time. We don't mind living like Mayberry.
Yvonne grew up in the neighborhood in the 1970s. And as we walked down her old street, she said every day used to feel like a block party.
We would play constantly from morning to night. Imagine kids doing that.
Right in this little side street?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Morning to night.
She moved out of the neighborhood for a while in her 20s and came back in her 30s with the kids. The neighborhood is still small, quiet, and family-oriented. In a city drowning with 300 homicides a year, Bridesburg is a working-class safe haven that very rarely makes the police blotter. As leader of the Bridesburg Civic Association, Yvonne fights tooth and nail to keep it that way.
We don't want to build up. We want to stay like we are, but we want to continue building a little, but not to where we're bringing so much crazy into our neighborhood, because we don't need so much crazy.
Bridesburg, though, seems to be at a crossroads. Local leaders want more small business and investment, but they're also resistant to change. Can progress come without opening up to newcomers? Here, a lot seems to depend on this question. Are you a homeowner or a renter? Here's Yvonne and her friends.
I think we have a lot of rentals around here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have more rentals now than you guys since we've been growing up, basically.
That's
right?
What I was...
Yeah, you pulled that up.
I remember as a kid hanging over here, you couldn't get in this neighborhood if you tried. And now it's like the block behind me has six houses of rentals.
Well,
and they're
It's hard to talk about renting in Bridesburg without mentioning race. Bridesburg is over 90% white and has been slow to diversify. The neighborhood also has a long history of racial discrimination. But today, its gatekeepers say that's not why they push back on rentals. They say it's to keep the neighborhood's family-first vibe going for generations to come. Yvonne's kids are now 17 and 27.
Even when we moved out and came back, you know, my daughter would still come down here and hang out with her friends. It's family. It's family. It really is.
One of their biggest fears with renters is out-of-town landlords, who they claim have ruined other nearby neighborhoods. Again, Joe Slabinski.
You know, if you have a block with 20 homes, 15 of them are rental units. The owner is not there. The owners are New York or out somewhere, and it's they're not there. So no pride. Rentals.
Politically, registered Democrats dominate the neighborhood. But in 2016, they voted en masse for Republican Donald Trump. It's not hard to see why a Make America Great Again slogan would resonate here. Bridesburg's leaders have been largely successful in building a wall around their neighborhood. Most residents here are still homeowners, and leaders have kept it that way by using the zoning code to squash apartments and duplexes. Also, by passing homes down to family and friends, and by asking homeowners who want to rent their property to think twice.
Well, when they moved in, they could not rent.
Right.
In Bryan.
They're not allowed to rent.
They had to sell. That was the rule when they moved there.
If you're part of the old guard, this is great news. But if you're a family that sees value in Bridesburg and wants to come in and snag a rental, you're pretty much out of luck, especially if you want to use a subsidized housing voucher. Again, Slabinski.
I don't even want to bring this other word up, never mind, because we're being taped, Section 8. I don't think there's any in Philadelphia, in Bridesburg right now.
Federal housing data shows that about a third of Philadelphia's census tracts don't contain a single resident using a voucher. Landlords technically can't discriminate based on vouchers, but the practice is common across the country.
Calling about an ad I saw for an apartment on Craigslist in Bridesburg.
Every property manager I got in touch with told me the same thing.
It doesn't say on the ad, but do you take housing vouchers?
No, I'm sorry.
When you dig deeper into housing issues in Bridesburg, though, things are a lot more complicated than the homeowner versus renter dichotomy. Joe Slabinski is actually a landlord in the neighborhood himself. And Yvonne, the champion of homeownership.
I rent my house.
You rent your house?
Yeah, I rent my house.
You're one of the rental permits?
Yeah, I rent my house.
But some homeowners themselves feel unwelcome, especially people of color like Yali Perez. 7 years after buying in the Berg, she's still wary about racial tensions exploding into the streets.
The kids will come out and play or whatever, next thing you know, they say something, one of the kids say something that's racist, and next thing you know, the parents are fighting each other, and so just to avoid it, I'm like, don't go outside.
We'll have more from her perspective on the neighborhood in the next installment of our series. In Bridesburg, I'm Max Marin.
And now, part two in our series on Bridesburg. Who belongs? It's a question that dominates a lot of political conversation. Who can come into the country? Who can afford which school districts? Who belongs in which neighborhoods? As part of Keystone Crossroads Embedded 2020 series, we go back to Max Marin in Bridesburg for this profile of a family thought to be outsiders as they fight to put down roots.
Yali Perez was a new mom when she witnessed a fatal shooting outside her home in North Philadelphia. That night, she decided she had to move.
I can't see anybody else get shot. I don't want my kid, to get shot. So we were like, we're just going to pick the safest area.
It needed to be safe, but also affordable. That's how she found Bridesburg, a working-class neighborhood a few miles away that rarely makes the news for violence.
The school had good ratings at the time.
She bought a house here with her mother in 2013 and immediately felt some relief.
When Pokemon Go was like a big deal, like I had no problems walking around here at night, like looking for Pokemon with my kid.
But there's just one thing. Yali's family is Puerto Rican, and Bridesburg is overwhelmingly white, with a reputation for being hostile to outsiders, especially people of color. It didn't take long for Yali to see how racial animosity here escalates things from good to bad to worse.
Black family who just moved in got into a fight with a white family up the block because their son called their son a n***.
Pandemonium erupted that night. The feuding families called on relatives for backup. The police came. Shortly after, Yali said the black family moved out. As one of the few Puerto Rican families in the neighborhood, Yali worries about her son, Ian, who's now 10 years old, getting in a similar situation.
This is why you don't go outside, because kids start a fight and then grown-ups think it's their job to fix it. And this is the way that it goes down. And that's how it's always been.
Yali works from home as a freelancer, writing about Japanese anime and its intersection with motherhood. Ian has inherited his mother's love of geek culture. Both are rocking dyed hair at the moment. Yali's is a purple and blue. Ian's is a bright orange.
I did all that stuff when I was younger, too.
And she used to have long hair.
Yeah. I had bright red hair like that one time.
In this former industrial neighborhood with an old-school mentality, it's easy to see how they could stand out. And it was only 25 years ago that Bridesburg made national headlines for how it treated someone who looked different.
Police continue to investigate last weekend's hate crime in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia.
Within hours of moving into Bridesburg in 1996, a black woman named Bridget Ward and her family immediately became the target of racist death threats.
She found racial epithets on the front and back porch and some ketchup supposed to look like blood on the steps to the house.
The incident and its aftermath were broadcasted nationally by Ted Koppel on ABC's Nightline. Ward moved out less than a month after arriving.
I don't need to live with these kind of people. I'm better than them.
In Nightline's coverage, many defended their treatment of Ward on the basis of her skin color and the fact that she was a low-income renter. Other neighbors criticized the blatant racism.
My mother raised nine of us. She said no matter what color or what nationality, if they're good, they're good. Everybody deserves a chance.
Today, Yali says it's still common to hear racial slurs in bars and other places in the area.
The N-word gets used a lot by people who are not black around here. Is a common word, which is funny because I haven't heard that in like 20 years.
A white supremacist group openly flyered the neighborhood in 2018, and Yali's family has faced many questions loaded with stereotypes.
Like, I promise you, I don't even know a gang member. No, not other Latinos are coming, guys. It's just our family. Oh, aren't you from, like, 2nd Street? Oh, that's where all the Puerto Ricans are. It's like, oh, we don't do parties. You know, Suavemente is not going to be on 24 hours, I promise you.
But sometimes the question isn't overtly about race.
That was, like, the first question. Did you buy this house? Like, yes, we did buy it, you know.
Bridesburg has one of the highest home ownership rates in the city. And local leaders say this is exactly what's allowed the neighborhood to remain stable. Joe Slabinski is a third-generation business owner in Bridesburg.
We're keep a close eye on what's going on to try to keep owner occupancy at, you know, single family. We try to avoid, as much as we can, duplexes.
But Yali and her mother know both sides of this story. For most of their lives, they were renters, using public assistance. Brenda Santiago, Yali's mother, said she always took pride in their family home.
I mean, when I was a renter, I maintained my house. I made sure my sidewalk was clean. When it snowed, I shoveled.
When they made the jump to become homeowners in Bridesburg, it was a big deal. And sometimes, Yali doesn't feel the neighborhood can see how much pride her family has in being here.
I think that is still my current, like, love affair of this area. So it's like, I feel safe, and I also really love my house.
Bridesburg's old guard is well aware of the neighborhood's perception as exclusionary. Just like back in the 90s, they chalk it up to a few bad apples. Yvonne Stevens, the head of the Neighborhood Civic Association, says she hopes people like Yali and Brenda will come to her if they feel harassed or unwelcomed.
And if you're the person that are a long-time resident of my neighborhood and somebody new came in and you're doing this to them, shame on you. Because you're making yourself and me, who has lived here, bad. And you're really throwing it out there that Bridesburg is something that we're not.
Yali and Brenda are still wary, but for the most part, they say their neighbors have come around to them.
I think we got over our initial, like, hazing phase.
Yali compares Bridesburg to a Japanese manga series called Dr. Stone, which tells the story of two kingdoms fighting to rebuild a distant planet. A war breaks out between the two factions, but ultimately, they come to see the light.
I think right now it's a divide of color, not realizing that we just want our kids to be safe. We want to feel safe when we walk around the street. We want to be able to help each other. We want to make this area grow in the best possible way. And so hopefully by the time I'm some of the age of the people who live here now, I'd hope we would have gotten it together.
From Bridesburg, I'm Max Marin.
Keystone Crossroads Embedded 2020 Project is election year coverage that puts people, not politicians, at the center. You can find more at whyy.org/embedded2020.